everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the show. I think I need to transition. I may have said this yesterday, from the shorts to the sweatpants when I go out at 5:30, 6 o'clock to water. It was chilly, actually, this morning, Tom.
That's okay. You'll be able to warm up tomorrow. Oh, we're supposed to be nudging the good old century mark once again.
Nudging almost 100 degrees. Yeah, that will be like one of the latest 100s ever produced.
You won't be needing your sweater then.
No. No, I won't. Hello, everybody. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. We're so delighted they have the naming rights to our studio, at least during the Buckmaster Show. And we're on the campus of the Bustos Media Group, where we have five radio stations under one roof. This radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted local voice. A lot of news talk here. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. And, of course, when we do our telephone interviews, the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. With me in studio for his monthly visit, Republican Steve Christie, representing District Number 4 on the five-member Pima County Board of Supervisors. Mr. Christie, Supervisor Christie, first elected in 2016. Steve seeks a third four-year term next year. He was in the automotive business. Many people remember Steve Christie. He was in the business, started really as like washing cars and stuff in 1976. Went on, of course, to have the dealership, Steve Christie Chrysler Jeep, and then sold it. He had an offer, I guess, he could not refuse in 2007, and now here he is, so happy that he is a supervisor. And I took, first of all, great to see you, Supervisor.
Thank you, Bill.
And I took a look at your kind of your re-election page that you've got there, and it's got in script, "Did I tell you I love being a supervisor?"
Yes. Yeah, it seems like I seem to say that quite a bit. I don't realize
that's
I am.
That's your slogan.
That is. And you know, you were talking about the weather this morning when you got up, and there's a slight chill. Well, in my district, of course, I represent the Mount Lemmon Summerhaven community, and there is a deep nip of fall in the air, and I encourage everybody to enjoy it and to go up and visit the businesses and the surroundings there, because the daily highs are in the low 70s.
Nice.
And the lows are down in the 40s.
Nice.
And the foliage is turning, and there's upcoming Oktoberfest activities, and they're abounding, and the Facebook page for Mount Lemmon has all the details on that, and we encourage you to visit the Mount Lemmon page on Facebook, and the Sky Island Trading Company is open next to Sawmill Run, and it's really a great place in the fall, and I'm sure you've been up there in the fall, but it's right in our own backyard, and it presents all the wonderful issues that are surrounding a fall that we really get a four seasons up there.
Oh, I know. And when my first time living here, when I was at the University of Arizona in the late 60s, we used to take had a little MGB. Mm. Here I'm 6'1", and it crammed into this little black MGB, and we'd make a Mount Lemmon run with a top down. Oh, it was always nice this time, especially this time of year, up in October, and kind of hang out at the old Mount Lemmon Inn, which burned down, I guess, I don't know, maybe 1969 or something.
Well, of course, as you know, there's a terrific replacement there at Mount Lemmon Lodge, and it's just a beautiful facility, boutique style. It has a gorgeous ambiance with the rooms, and then there's all kinds of surrounding activities associated with it. So it really is a destination and a great asset that Pima County has. And we call it Pima County's playground.
There you go. What a district you have as far as geography. Is it the largest district?
No, it's not, but it goes all the way.
Is that Sharon Bronson's district?
That's Supervisor Bronson's, yeah. She's got a
goes
huge
all
one.
The way to Ajo.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got a diverse And the geography is very pretty. You got Vail, you got the Sahuarita, Green Valley,
yep. All the way from Mount Lemmon to Green Valley and everything in between, all the way east to the Cochise County line. And it is beautiful country. You go out in the Vail area and the Rocking Cay development and all of the old Spanish Trail sites out there. And my favorite saying is that I call our southeast region the jewel on the crown of Pima County.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a lot of people ask you, well, Supervisor Christie, about this incorporation election. I think it's the third attempt there. You're Switzerland on this deal, right?
I am, and I've made that very clear. And it's interesting to note, and I'm proud to note it, is that within my own district, District 4, we have two examples of different forms of government. And one is dealt with incorporation. Of course, that's Sahuarita. And Sahuarita has really benefited from incorporation. And it is
a boom town.
A growing, thriving community, sure. Family-oriented. It's one of the most desirable places in the country to live. It's been voted as such by numerous magazines. Mm-hmm. They have their own town council and mayor and police force, and it's really a thriving, beautiful community. And that was as an example of the success behind incorporation. Then, a little bit further south, in Green Valley, they've voted down incorporation.
Numerous times.
Yet they have their own basic town council yeah. that's called the Green Valley Council that's made yeah. up of somewhere between 80 and 90 homeowner associations that have anywhere from 120 to on up in each homeowner association. And they have a board of representatives that meets monthly with the Green Valley Council Executive Committee. They have ongoing programs. They communicate with everyone in the HOAs and throughout the community and all of the Pima County entities, the Sheriff's Department, my office, Development Services. It's a really a wonderful example of government on the curb and self-government, but it is not incorporated. And everybody thinks it's a sleepy little retirement community. I tell you, this Green Valley Council, they've got more activities and more projects and more programs than ever. And President Kenyon in Green Valley is doing a terrific job with her executive committee and the board of reps to promote Green Valley and to promote communication and interest and pertinent ideas that everybody can benefit from. So there's another example of a success of non-incorporation. So I'm not going to take sides on incorporation or non-incorporation because I've got two of the best examples of mm-hmm. both forms of government, not even government, but both forms of self-determination in my own district.
And the Green Valley thing seems to work, doesn't it? That
works.
Particular model seems to work. Now, whether it would work somewhere else, who knows, but it works there.
But it's important from our standpoint that in Vail right now that both forms are discussed and exposed to the Vail community as examples of what mm-hmm. is one side and what is the other, so everybody's making an informed decision. Matter of fact, we'll be hosting a 402 Forum on October 15th at Micah Mountain High School from 1 to 2 p.m., and we're going to have two distinct and very successful models of local government, Town of Sarita, and we're going to have Mayor Murphy presenting his version of incorporation and the benefits thereof his community mm-hmm. derived. And then we're going to have Green Valley Council President Deb Kenyon, who will also describe what that form of administration in a community is all about as well. I'm going to be there moderating in the sense that introductions and things of this nature, it's not going to be a forum for questions that deal specifically with all the nuances of incorporation. There's other entities that we can pass those questions on to for the benefit of those folks at the meeting. But it's basically to showcase two distinct success stories that are diametrically different, but yet have direct benefits to the community.
And again, the time?
The time is 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. at the Micah Mountain High School in the Vail area.
What date?
And that is on October 15th. It's All a right. Sunday.
Let's talk about a success story, Mona's Danish Bakery. Very successful. Steve and the team, my goodness. People love Mona's. Mona's is at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are known as the home of the Danish Kringle. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. They're open right now for a great lunch, and of course, they'll do breakfast anytime. They open the doors at Mona's at 6:30, and people are waiting. I don't blame them. You got everything you want as far as European-style pastries, just really some great variety of breads, and of course, the Danish Kringle is just such a luscious, flaky, fruit-filled pastry. We'll take a break right here. Back with Steve Christie right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We were talking about those cool mornings. The plants love it. Boy, I'll tell you, this is the perfect time of year to go over to Green Things. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. It's really a pretty location there. It's just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They've got 13 acres now over there, Jan and Jack, the owners. What a beautiful job they've done with the property. And they incorporated Zocalo into the business, and that's the business now that has really pretty merchandise, Talavera pottery, all sorts of imported items, mesquite carved dining room sets. Just really check it out when you're at Green Things. Their website, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. 53rd year of business, and they are open daily. Steve Christie is here. He's one of the five board members on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. He is the lone Republican. He represents District 4. And sometimes he is that lone voice voting against a particular item. And this time, Sharon Bronson, Supervisor Bronson, joined you in saying no to this Pima County pass-through of nearly $7.5 million in federal funding to our local migrant shelters.
Yeah, and Supervisor Bronson has been a really good, strong ally on a number of issues, particularly this one. I think what the realization is coming to the forefront that we have and have had an invasion and a crisis of migrants coming over the border illegally under the assumption that they're here to seek asylum. But when you have hundreds of thousands of people coming across the border, it's impossible to stop them and ask them why they are here. And of course, many of them have been coached as to say the proper things to the proper authorities that will temporarily qualify them for asylum. But that's impossible now with the numbers that are going through. So there's no vetting and no ability to vet why they're here. And it used to be that if they came over seeking asylum by answering the questions that they were persecuted for their faith or their politics or threatened or things of that nature that could direct them to asylum seeking remedies, that can't happen now when you're talking about the numbers that we're having. And to think that that amount of influx of migrants that can basically pour into our communities, pour over the borders, be properly vetted, and then tracked throughout the country to make an appointment with an immigration judge is not only outrageous, but it's absolutely laughable. You'd end up crying if it wasn't so bad. And we have been just funneling state and local and federal monies, taxpayer money, to sheltering, housing, clothing, securing these migrants, and it's unsustainable. And since this whole issue started in 2019, Pima County has, through the funneling of this money, this passing through of money, has accumulated $46 million of federal money to sustain a sheltering situation with folks that really, we don't know if they should be here or not. And I would have to venture to say they shouldn't be here. And my feeling is, and has been all along, is A, Pima County should not be in the asylum seeking business. And B, we should stop taking funds. We should notify the federal government that Pima County is not going to be a dropping off place or a welcoming center or a reception area for illegal aliens or migrants of any kind. We can't do it. It's gotten to the point where all of the services we provide are stressed. Things are falling through the cracks. And what happens when that money runs out? So it's time to bite the bullet. And if it means having street releases in Pima County, maybe that's the only way that we can get the attention of the federal government, that they have a very dysfunctional immigration problem. And the best thing I think they can do is to shut down the border, get a hold and a grip on what's happening, control it, say no more crossing the border. I'm a firm believer that we need more protection on the border, including the wall being continued to be built. And we've got to stop this. And if we don't stop it now, it's going to get worse. And it's been getting worse. And when you have my colleagues on the other side, or Democrats around the country, admitting and acknowledging that we have an illegal immigration crisis, then you know it's hitting home in communities around the country.
Well, what would happen to these people if we didn't give them the funding? The Catholic Community Services, the Inn of Southern Arizona, the City of Tucson, if we cut off the funding, what's going to happen to these people?
I would bet my bottom dollar that the people would then find out, probably through the cartels, that Pima County is not a good place to cross into. It's not a welcoming place, and there's no services, and you can't get any help or shelter, and that would divert the influx that's coming through now.
Let's also talk about an issue that came up at the meeting about the Pima County supervisors wanting the handling of that sex assault case in the Pima County Sheriff's Department reviewed. You voted, actually were with the majority on the 4-1 vote on this, weren't you?
Yes, the latest vote to continue to request outside law enforcement entities to conduct an independent investigation as to why Sheriff Nanos is apparently allegedly dragging his feet or not proceeding for an internal affairs investigation as to what happened. The latest vote we had to pursue that was 4-1, and Supervisor Scott abstained, but we did have Supervisor Hines, and we did have Supervisor Grijalva and Supervisor Bronson voting with me on that. And the reasoning behind this is there's this allegation that the sheriff is not adequately conducting an investigation as to the causes and the details of what happened.
This is a former sergeant in the Pima County Sheriff's Department accused of sexually assaulting a deputy at a holiday party in December that he hosted.
And that staff members and upper echelon of the Sheriff's Department were at that party and did nothing to do to stop it. Now, those are allegations, but yes. the seriousness of those allegations, I think, are as heinous as any kind of other felonious type of situation, including murder, and that it's incumbent upon the sheriff to be totally transparent, find out these details. He's not doing that, so the board requested that the county administrator, Ms. Lesher, contact what we were offering as suggestions to outside entities to come in with a fresh set of eyes to look into this whole matter, be it the Department of Public Safety, the Attorney General, Arizona Post, or the Joint Task Force of all the law enforcement agencies in Pima County. Apparently, they're only able to do the last one, the joint agency, only looks into shootings. But I would say that a heinous rape of this nature ranks right up there with the seriousness of a shooting, and that they could be easily doing the investigation. So the last
thing. Who is doing the investigation at this point?
No one. There's a criminal legal issue down in Santa Cruz County, but there's no one doing any kind of internal investigation into the Sheriff's Department. And what we're trying to find out is why is not Sheriff Nanos looking into this? Why is he not conducting his own investigation? He's put it on hold, according to the victim's allegations. So the last thing I want to do, as Supervisor Christie in particular and the Board of Supervisors in general, is to be in a situation where the sheriff's actions or inactions are going to be connected with the Board of Supervisors. The last thing I want is for the community to say, why didn't the Board of Supervisors act on this? And we did act on this. We're continuing to act on this, and it needs to be investigated.
And then Pima County Supervisor Scott said he referred to the earlier discussion. This matter has come up a couple of times, that an investigation could interfere with the pending criminal and civil cases against this former sergeant.
Well, Supervisor Scott voted no on asking for an outside entity to do the investigation. His apparently rationale for this is he thinks that it might impact a court case, either a criminal or a civil. At this particular point, I think if we don't do something, it's going to impact the civil or criminal case even worse. And really, since we're named in the lawsuit, the Board of Supervisors is named in the lawsuit along with the sheriff, we can't allow our situation to be included in what the sheriff is doing or not doing.
All right. The water case, and we're going to talk more about this with our legal contributor later in today's program with Don Luce. That's that differential water rates case. The judge ruled in favor of Pima County.
Yes, and one last comment on the sheriff's situation. Okay. Of course, transparency is of the essence and is of the issue from a community standpoint, and that's why we're pressing it like we are. As far as the differential water case,
You're hoping the city will not appeal? I don't know if they're going to appeal.
I would advise them not to, because it would further erode their credibility with the county as well as the region. And there was no surprise on those on the side of those of us who felt it was a wrongful and unjust effort by the city to discriminate water rates with those that live out in the county. The only people that seemed to be surprised by the decision were the bureaucrats and elected officials of the city of Tucson. I would advise them not to appeal. The judge's ruling and determination was unambiguous and very clear. And what we need now to do is to reconcile and recompense the folks that had to pay the higher rates, reimburse them, and for the city of Tucson to pay all costs associated with the lawsuit, legal fees and court costs. That's on the city of Tucson.
All right. Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie, thanks for being with us, and I hope you have a great rest of the day.
I will, and thank you for having me, Bill.
All right. Pima County Supervisor.
Oh, did I tell you I love being supervisor?
Yeah, I saw it on your reelection page. There you go. Steve Christie with us on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up next, famed comet discoverer, former Parade Magazine science editor, Dr. David Levy, will be with us on our live line right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We love Silver City, especially this time of year. Look at that, mid-70s, 76 degrees at they're an hour ahead, so that was at 1 o'clock. But boy, what a beautiful day over there. Great time of year to jump in the car, hop on the motorcycle, or jump in the truck. Take a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. Before you start your trip, check out Southwest New Mexico, spelled out .org. Some great recreation ideas there on the website to tempt you to make that trip. You will not regret it. Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We go on the live line now to the observatory, his observatory in Vail, Arizona. His being Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, former science editor of Parade Magazine, and one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. Dr. Levy, I presume. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing well, and it's good to hear your voice. I know that these are very, very difficult times, and although I do not have the same experiences as you, we do have something to share.
Yes, we certainly do. And every day is a challenge, as you very well know.
It absolutely is.
When you lose the better half, I'll tell you, it's so challenging. You know, we had Dr. Marcia Rieke from the UA on the program last week, who really spent a half an hour with us talking about this amazing Webb telescope. We haven't heard you weigh in on that. What are some of your thoughts, David Levy?
Well, the Webb telescope, for me, I like to go by the Canadians, how they called it, JWST, Just Wonderful Space Telescope.
Just Wonderful.
And, just Wonderful. And the thing that got to me was that first light. When they took the picture of the Eta Carina Nebula, it brought me back to Bart Bok, who is a very, very dear friend of mine and the subject of my first biography, The Man Who Sold the Milky Way. And he loved Eta Carinae, and he studied it. He went to the Southern Hemisphere an awful lot to study that. It's probably the most active area in the entire sky.
Hmm.
And
wow.
It was just wonderful. And that telescope, to choose that at its first light, was just something else. The other thing was when NASA administrator, right after the launching, gave a thank you lecture in which he thanked the many people involved in the telescope's building and launch. But he also at the end thanked a young shepherd boy who in the Middle East thousands of years ago wrote poetry, and he became the king of Israel after a while. And that really got to me, that he was talking about King David in his lecture.
All right, David, looking at the meteor showers coming up, any comets visible? Why don't you, how about meteor showers first, then comets second?
Yeah, meteor showers, the Orionids meteor shower, and you have one guess as to which comet they come from, Bill.
They come from the... which one? Tom's trying to give me a cue on the... Orion. They come from Orion.
The Orion, for you and Tom both, the Orionid meteor shower comes from Halley's Comet.
Halley's,
and,
of course.
We're going to be going through the debris left by Halley's Comet on around the 21st of this month, and we get the Orionid meteors. They're among the most beautiful meteors shower of the entire year. And for comets, it's interesting that you mention Halley's Comet, because next month, Halley's Comet will be at aphelion. It'll be as far from the sun as it ever gets.
Really?
Beyond the orbit of Neptune, just creeping and crawling through the sky, moving so, so slowly. And then as it starts to come in again, it'll move a little bit fast. Right now, you could walk and keep up with that comet. But as it gets closer, it'll move faster and faster. And then in the year 2061, it will again reach perihelion, when it will be a bright comet we'll be able to see.
I don't think I'll be around for that one, but...
Neither will I.
All right.
You never know. I'll be 112 if I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Here's the quote of the month. The quote of the month from Dr. David Levy. Go ahead.
The quote of the month comes this month from John Keats. He wrote Chapman's Homer sonnet in 1814, and I decided to play with it a little bit and to change it to see if John Keats had known Walter Bada, who discovered a hole in the dust of the Milky Way, a very small area that allows you to see right down to the center of the Milky Way. Much have I traveled in the realms of gold, and many goodly stars and clusters seen. Round all the celestial islands have I been with eyepiece on telescope to the night sky hold. Oft of one wide expanse that I've been told that Galileo ruled as his domain. Yet did I never breathe as pure serene till I heard Walter Botta speak out loud and bold. Then felt I like some watcher of the skies when a new star cluster swims into his ken. Through his majestic window looks upon the Milky Way, he stared at the center of our galaxy, like a diamond shining in the sky with a wild surmise, silent through the mists of space and time.
Very nice. We'll leave it right there. Dr. David Levy, always a pleasure. Hang in there, David, as they say. Thanks.
Yeah, you too, Bill.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure. All right, we'll take a break right here. The counselor is in the house, Attorney Don Luce, our legal contributor. Coming up right after we take this break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Thursday edition. Tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview will welcome back to the show. She is such a wealth of knowledge, Dr. Kate Kensky, University of Arizona communication professor, and we'll be talking about the messaging of this upcoming presidential election. It's really interesting. So many people in this country say, whether it's the Republican frontrunner or the Democrat, they're too old. That's kind of the messaging that the public is sending, but that's for tomorrow. Right now, it's Attorney Don Luce with me in studio of Luce Law Group, and he is not too old, believe me. He's at the top of his game with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Don Luce is the Buckmaster Shell legal contributor. So glad he is. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101. There's no shortage of Arizona laws to go into. In fact, Don this wrote this book for non-lawyers. It's now in its second printing, as is his book on estate planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Hey, Don, how are you?
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me.
We kind of talked a little bit about this with Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie earlier in the show. This was a little bit of a setback for Tucson Water. A judge in Phoenix heard this water rate case, and the judge was pretty strong on it, wasn't he?
Yes. So the city lost at the trial court. Now, the interesting thing about this case, at least from my perspective, is it's a county suing the largest city within the county.
The county.
So it's Pima County
yes.
versus City of Tucson.
Yeah.
That's the case. And it was brought in Maricopa County. All right. So I just find that interesting that you have essentially two counties involved and the second largest city in the state of Arizona. The trial court did rule in the county's favor. And what the basis of the ruling was is that the rate increase was not justified by any cost analysis. In other words, the city unilaterally increased the water rates in the unincorporated areas by 10%. Mm-hmm. But the trial court found that there was no study or justification for a 10% rate increase. You know, why not 11% or 9%? So the trial court...
So the paperwork wasn't there to back it up, right, in the form of a study that would show a reason for 10% or any percent.
Exactly.
Yes.
Now, interestingly, the city, after the fact, apparently contracted for a cost analysis to be conducted and attempted to show the judge that based on the cost analysis that it did after the rate increase was justified. The judge was having no part of that argument and in fact noted that an after-the-fact analysis to support a rate increase that was not based on any analysis was insufficient. The city also did something else that I found kind of interesting, and that was after the fact, it exempted government entities from the differential rates. So remember, the plaintiff in the case is Pima County. And so they essentially exempted Pima County from the differential rate increase, right? Mm-hmm. And so then they said, Your Honor, because Pima County doesn't have to pay the increased rate, it doesn't have any standing to sue over this policy because it's not affected. And again, the judge dismissed that argument saying that, and I'll quote, Tucson cannot voluntarily deprive it of that standing in the middle of litigation for the same reason it cannot voluntarily moot the case in the middle of litigation. So the ruling was adverse to the city in favor of the county. The appeal deadline is middle of this month. It's unknown at this point whether the city is going to appeal the decision. But if it does not appeal the decision, then this will be the final rule. And as Supervisor Christie pointed out, the city will probably have to reimburse the customers who were affected by the rate increase. And by the way, it's not inconsequential. One third of all Tucson Water customers are in unincorporated areas.
Yeah, I'm one of them. Yep.
So am I.
Yeah.
So the rates took effect on December 1, 2021, and they were projected to create about $10 million. That, you know, that's a fair chunk of change.
Yes, it
and
is. It,
to the extent that some or all of the increase will need to be refunded to the customers, that also is going to be a significant number.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see if there is an appeal forthcoming. And just out of curiosity, why was the case heard in the most populous county up in Maricopa County? Was there some kind of a change of venue that it that the city or the county did not feel there would be that a judge could be impartial here locally? Or just
Yeah, my best educated guess on that is that because the county was a party,
yes.
They decided to change the venue to another county, in this case Pima County, as the plaintiff was bringing the action in Maricopa County, which of course is a different county.
Of course, water is a huge issue, so is the homeless situation. This is an interesting story. The same law firm behind a ruling that led to the clearing out of Phoenix's largest homeless camp has now brought a lawsuit here in Tucson, and the neighborhood we're going to be talking about is approximately near East Fort Lowell and North Mountain Avenue. It's a homeless camp at Navajo Wash, Don Luce.
This is a really interesting case on several levels. First of all, as you pointed out, it is coming on the heels of a big win for the residents near the zone, which is what the Phoenix encampment is known as. The court in Maricopa County granted their request that the city take action to clean out and clean up that area of town, which is home to, I say home, it's, you know, unsheltered homeless, but there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people residing in the zone pretty much as their permanent place of residence,
wow.
Even though they don't have homes.
It's that large then. Wow.
So I actually pulled the complaint that was filed in Maricopa County to get a sense as to what that lawsuit was about. What I saw from the photographic evidence that's contained in the complaint is absolutely shocking. Hundreds and hundreds of people in living in squalor. The conditions are basically inhuman. There are no significant facilities provided to the homeless. They're crowded into essentially an urban center, and in many respects, left to fend for themselves. What the court in Maricopa County did was order the city of Phoenix by November 4th to basically clean up that area. And, the people who brought the suit in Phoenix successfully showed that what was happening in the zone constituted a public nuisance. It affected them. It affected their property. They contended successfully that as residents of the city, they had the right to require the city to enforce its own laws. And they contended that the city was negligent in failing to do so, or was intentionally failing to do so. And the judge agreed with them. So when that same law firm that represented the city of Phoenix plaintiffs filed a lawsuit in the city of Tucson, I took a look at the history of that action, and it starts with a letter that the law firm wrote to the mayor and to council member of Ward 3 back in August, okay, identifying, as you did, the affected area. And it's the Navajo Wash, which runs from the northwest corner of North Mountain and East Hendrick Drive to Fairview Avenue, where it merges with the Flowing Wells Wash just south of Irma. And the portion in question is between East Hendrick and East Fort Lowell. Okay, so that's the area that the plaintiffs in this lawsuit are contending is being inhabited by unsheltered homeless and who are engaged in activities that create a public nuisance. And let's be perfectly clear about this. It is not illegal to be homeless, okay? And in some cases, it is perfectly okay to essentially make your place on public land.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if there are not enough shelters or
mm-hmm.
beds,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's one instance. In this case, the plaintiffs say that there are enough beds and shelters to house the people who are using the wash as essentially a permanent place to live. If I could,
mm-hmm.
The letter that was written to the mayor on August 29th states in part, Over the past 2 months, the situation has significantly deteriorated. The number of camps has grown, and the camps contain more inhabitants who seem intent on making the Wash a permanent home. The neighborhood has been negatively impacted by the masses of garbage and human waste, and by the increase in illegal drug use and other criminal activities, not just in the Wash, but spilling into alleys and streets and onto private property. The residents can no longer use the Wash for the activities they used to enjoy. The presence of the homeless encampments has had a devastating impact on Hendrick Acres, Only Park, and on residents' quality of life. This is an untenable situation and needs to end. Now, that was the letter that was sent before the lawsuit was filed.
Mm-hmm.
The plaintiffs, who are...
Two homeowners and one business owner that live in the neighborhood.
Yep. They contend that the city simply ignored their plea for assistance, and that as a result, they were forced to file a lawsuit requesting that the city of Tucson, like the city of Phoenix in the other case, be required to clean up the encampment and restore to the residents that portion of the city so that they can continue to enjoy it. I went back to the Phoenix lawsuit to see what the specific effects of the encampment allegedly had on the residents in that case. So, according to the complaint that was filed in the city of Phoenix case, violent crime increased dramatically. And these are allegations. But based on these allegations, the court in the city of Phoenix case did enter an order in favor of the plaintiffs. Drug use has increased drastically. Property crime has increased dramatically. Plaintiffs and other residents regularly suffer trespasses on their property. Plaintiffs routinely experience homeless individuals sleeping up against their properties. Plaintiffs and other residents are at high risk of being the victims of violent and other crime. Trash has proliferated on streets and yards of the surrounding neighborhoods. Public nudity is a regular public occurrence. Plaintiffs have witnessed public defecation. Fire hazards have increased in plaintiffs' neighborhoods as tents and bins in the homeless encampments catch fire. Numerous homeless encampments block public rights of way. And the use, the property use is diminished, and property values have plummeted in the surrounding neighborhoods. So these are the allegations that the plaintiffs in these cases are making. And as I said, the City of Phoenix case was decided in favor of the residents and against the city, and the City of Phoenix is ordered to essentially clean out and clean up the zone within the next 30 days.
Quickly, Don, we're about out of time. Is this going before a judge, this suit? Do we know when this might we might see some resolution here?
So the Tucson case was just filed. There was an appearance made on behalf of the city of Tucson on October 2nd. The plaintiffs are seeking a preliminary injunction, so something is going to happen fairly soon.
All right, Don Luce, thank you very much. Always a pleasure, Don.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, on behalf of Don Luce, offices in Tucson and Phoenix, Don with the Luce Law Group, and Tom, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everyone well. Have a great afternoon.